Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Savior, like a shepherd lead us, much we need Thy tender care. In Thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use Thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us, Thine we are. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us, Thine we are. Reading from our study in Romans, verse 5 of chapter 9, whose are the fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. And though Paul could write after he came historically, Isaiah also writes as if he had come 700 years before he was born, lived, died, and rose again. Reading from Isaiah chapter 53, God's holy word, prophecy of Christ. Verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. and esteemed him not. He was despised. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There we can read the price he paid, as we just read from the song, Blessed Jesus, Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Yes, an awful price. Not only the suffering on the cross, but the forsaking of God. He being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yes, he said he was going to suffer, die, but also rise again. And he did. And he does gain the victory. We can see that in some of the portions that we have read from Isaiah before. We read of his names in Isaiah chapter 9, but we did not read the verse, the application, after the names given in the 7th verse of chapter 9. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see much the same in the last part of Isaiah 53 that we did not read. We read some of the shells, but there are 8 shells that will take place, all in the application and the victory. After his death and resurrection, the application of it in our lives and in the whole world. Let's give thanks for that. Let's give thanks that we have it here called the gospel. And we could say here we have the gospel written by Isaiah. The gospel is Christ's death, dying according to the scriptures. And that is here, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. And that is also given in the scriptures, as Isaiah wrote of them, David wrote of them, and others as well. And then the actual history that we have in the Gospels called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the many references to the resurrection as well, and the witness they gave to it in the book of Acts, and the epistles written to the churches. That was there. Yes, it was there. Pardon my stumbling sometimes in statements and reading. I'm 91 years old. I don't see as good as I used to. Don't read as good as I used to. Don't think as good as I used to. But I'm still thankful for what health I do have at my age that I can still preach this blessed word. Yes, this blessed word. Going back to Abraham. In thy seed, God said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations or all the families of the earth be blessed. And because of it, we could read, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Bought us, but why are we his? Because he had to find us in the wilderness. He had to come after us. Some want to say, God's grace in the gospel goes as far as the cross, and the rest is up to us. But if it was up to us, he would stay alone at the cross. As we read the first part of this 53rd chapter, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him and esteemed him not. That's why we need those eight shalls at the end of this chapter. One of them is, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Yes, he did go to the cross. He did die. But he does much with his resurrection power as well. And let's pray that God will give it to us today. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. We give thanks for thy loving the world and giving thy Son. But we also give thanks for giving thy word, giving the Holy Spirit who has ordered this word to be written, and also the Holy Spirit that can open our hearts to receive it, the Holy Spirit who can convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, the Holy Spirit who can take the things of Christ and give them to us, the Holy Spirit who can lead into all truth. And we pray especially for that in the church today, that he will lead into all truth, that we might know the truth in such a way that thou wilt make the church one, as thou dost pray for so often, Lord Jesus, that they might be one over and over, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. And we pray that the church that is losing numbers, and sadly, in many ways, losing the truth, might be revived and awakened and brought back to the truth and brought back to oneness. And we believe, Father, that we need to be brought to know our sins together. And if we know our sins rightly, then we can have a beginning of being one. We think of the apostles who argued among themselves who were the greatest. And we may believe that through thy death, Lord Jesus, and thy resurrection, they learned what sinners they were. And after that, they could be in one accord in prayer and supplication. And we pray that thou wilt teach us so that we will soon be in the church in one accord in prayer and supplication. We also give thanks, Father, for the natural blessings that we have that others do not have, and food and raiment and homes and peace and shelter, the blessings of the sunshine, the rain. Others have the ways in nature that brings judgment and a curse, fire, wind, earthquakes and destruction and war, all the calamities that are there. We pray for them. We pray also, Father, for those in sickness and injury. We pray that thou wilt give healing to many. Give them faith to look to thee, Lord Jesus, the great physician for both body and soul. We pray also for our homes, especially the broken homes and the children in those homes. Pray that thou wilt teach the church that what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder, that we may not continue to see broken homes, that we might see this as the great problem in our nation that affects so many, and that if that were but changed for the better, our nation would be changed for the better. And let us not pray that we will not blame government, first of all, but ourselves, that we are not a salt and a light as we should be. And we pray that thou would awaken and revive us in Christ, so we will be, for thy glory and for the good of mankind. In Christ's name, amen. As we continue with the thought of the blessings God gave to the descendants of Abraham, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, many promises, some of them lesser and some of them greater, and especially the greatest one of all, the promise that we read here in Romans 9, verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. We say here that also, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And that is another subject that we'll come to later. But thinking today, and again, as we did before, of Christ came, who was over all, God bless it forever. Amen. Yes, Christ came. And as we read from another translation, Christ is. As he said, before Abram was, I am. He was there at creation. God created the world through his Son. They together said, let us make man. And we must believe that. We must believe that Christ, the Savior, is also our Creator and our Lawgiver. All of that is part of who we must believe in. Him, Emmanuel, God with us, the creator of the world. We are denying it, not only in the schools, but in the colleges, seminaries, books written, foolish, wicked, drawing pictures of monkeys, changing, supposedly, to man, different pictures from one picture to another, to another, to another, as if man came that way. When God said in His holy word, He created us in His image, not the image of an animal, but the image of God. We've lost it in our sin, but we can gain it back in Christ. And let's hear that message of Him, what He did. Sadly, the message, first of all, in Isaiah 53, calls us to repentance, calls us to the picture and the description of our sin, asking the question in the beginning, first verse, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Yes, there are those who will believe and do believe. But as we can read in the book of Acts, they believed through grace. And it is God who not only gave His Son, but who gives His Spirit, so we can have the grace to be convicted and begin to believe rightly in God, in His holiness, in God, in His justice. And then, as well, thankfully, God in His love. Yes, we're children of wrath, but we can have that wrath taken away, because Christ bore it on the cross, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if that was not done, you and I would have to be forsaken of God and be told to depart from Him, we who are workers of iniquity. Yes, that's what we are in regard to the law, and sadly, as well, in regard to the gospel. But in spite of that, God did what He said happened and was going to take place. We can look at it either way in this, what we might call, the Gospel of Isaiah. Verse 4 of this 53rd chapter, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The stripes were given by Pilate, by his soldiers. That was part of His suffering before He even went to the cross. Then Isaiah, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, comes back to us, as he did in the first three verses. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. As I said a moment ago, we will not come to the cross without the mighty work of the Spirit, without having what Christ said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And further in that conversation, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And entering the kingdom of God is coming back to God through Christ. Yes, through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe an easier way to understand it is, He is the door back to the Father. The door of God's love, calling us in. And not only calling us with the Word, but bringing us in by the Spirit. Yes, the door is open to all. Christ said, preach the gospel to every creature. But only those go through the door, as we saw earlier in Romans chapter 8, whom He predestined, them He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. And along with it, the sanctification that's described in the verse before that, predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not only looking at Him on the cross, but being made like Him in that resurrection power, conformed to His image. Paul talked about that later in his life when he wrote to the Philippians and said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Yes, there's power in the blood. There's power in the resurrection. There's power in the Son of God, who could say before He left this earth, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And when we come to the end of this 53rd chapter, as I said, we will see those eight shells, the application of what He did on the cross. It will be actually applied by God to us in the way of teaching, in the way of a pardon, and the way of the other blessings that are given, adoption, glory, covenants, all of that God gives because of Christ and through Christ. And as it's summed up, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. But we'll leave that for another time. Today I want to see, actually, the gospel. Christ dying for our sins. And reading of it again, the last part of the sixth verse. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. It reminds me of what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And the eighth verse, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then the tenth verse, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There, Christ is the Savior. We are the ungodly. We are the sinners. We are the enemies. The enemies. He died for his enemies and brings his enemies to reconciliation by the death of his Son. And that's what is applied here a little bit further in this 53rd chapter. But first of all, we have to see that he paid the price, or as the song stated, thou hast bought us, paid the price required. The wages of sin is death, and he paid it. He bought it with his own life. Yes, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. That's all we did. Christ said when he was here on earth, you will not come to me that you might have life. He even explained it further. He says, if anyone come in his own name, him you will receive. But not Christ, not the true message of Christ either. It takes the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, to convict us, to stop us, to turn us, to give us a call that will not be resisted, and begins with all of us like sheep that have gone astray. A further description of what he had to suffer in verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And then the next verse speaks of his grave. And he was buried. Buried. He was dead. Died on the cross. When we read here, he was oppressed and afflicted. Sometimes we have to be brought to being oppressed and feel the oppression of our sin before we will actually rightly know the need of Christ. I went to a funeral this afternoon. The minister there spoke of the one that died as being oppressed by his sin. That brings us to know the need of Christ. That brings us to know our guilt before God. And Christ bore that price for us so we don't have to continue to be oppressed. We need to be oppressed for our sin. We have to come guilty. We have to come confessing. We have to come with our mouth stopped, as we read in Romans chapter 3, but knowing that he bore the oppression that we would otherwise have to bear for eternity. As Christ described the rich man in hell, being in torment, torment that would never end. Never end. Yes, never. There is eternal life and eternal death. But Christ here bore what was needed and did not complain. We read, yet he opened not his mouth. Pilate wondered that he didn't answer, why he was so silent. And for the most part, he didn't give an answer. But he also finally did give the answer that he came to bear witness of the truth. And he is himself the truth, and he taught only the truth. The truth about his Father, the truth about himself, the truth about you and I. Even part of it, as we just mentioned, when he said, as John recorded, you will not come to me that you might have life. He also said to Nicodemus, not only the wonderful message of the gospel, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, you probably all know that verse, but do we know it as we should? In thankfulness, in praise, in humbleness, rightly, not just quoting it, not just as a historic fact, but as a needed blessing that we can then in the end say, because of it, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. The Father gave, the Father also took his life on the cross. It was the wickedness of men with wicked hands, but it was also according to God's determinate counsel, as Peter described it on the day of Pentecost. But coming back here to Isaiah, he has brought us the lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And then, in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. He was taken at night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was brought the next morning to Pilate. We don't know what happened through the whole night, if they questioned him through the whole night, or if he was actually put in prison for a few hours and then taken out and brought to Pilate in the morning. We aren't told. We're just told they're questioning him and told, sadly, at the same time of their questioning, Peter's denial, which we will not get into now, but that took place during the evening, and they went early in the morning to Pilate. But he may have been in prison for a few hours through the night. We read here, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That is Isaiah's way of describing his death. He was cut off out of the land of the living. Yes, he died on the cross. Joseph knew it. He wanted to take the body and bury it. He had to go to Pilate and request it. Pilate marveled that he was dead already. He asked the centurion, and when he found out it was true, he gave the body to Joseph to bury. And it was as we read here. He was cut off of the land of the living on the cross. Cursed on the cross. Who and why? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. I hope and pray both you and I are of God's people, who have learned from God the truth, who have learned from God that we are guilty sinners. Yes, guilty sinners. Again, referring to Romans 3, guilty before God, every mouth stopped. And then Paul brings the gospel, the good news. But now, he says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the message of Christ. Yes, the faith of Christ as well as the faith in Christ. Oh, do you know your need of it both ways? Faith in him, but also faith from him. He must be the author and the finisher of our faith. That's grace. That's God's grace in giving Christ and giving faith to the sinner who would otherwise refuse it. Yes, otherwise refuse it, acknowledge it in repentance, and then have that blessed faith of the Son of God.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.